Thanks for tuning in to our Centerpoint Church podcast. We hope you'll be challenged and inspired as we unpack God's direction and plan for our lives. Let's join into today's message.
Today does represent two things. The first is it is our 20th anniversary. How cool is that? I am really excited about this year. We're going to be doing a lot of things. You know, I had hoped to rent out the Tillis Center and have all of our campuses just have one giant service. How cool would that be? It's not going to happen. So, with all the logistics and all the restrictions right now, if not everyone can go, I'm not going to do it. And so we'll see what the summer brings. But we're going to do a lot of different celebratory things throughout this year. We're going to have some cool 20th year merch coming out in a few weeks and a couple really other exciting things. But we do have these 20 year anniversary journals that John just mentioned. I want to encourage you to get it. Let's start 2022 in the Word of God together. I couldn't think of a better way to start this new year than us just reading scripture together from beginning to end. And you can start it at any time. So like, I already missed the first. Doesn't matter. Start on the 7th. Start on the 53rd. I don't care. Just get started. And secondly, today represents my 25th year in ministry, which is really crazy that I've been doing this now for 25 years. And some of you are like, that is amazing, Brian, because you look 25. And I know, it is wild. But today, I didn't want to start this series today. We're going to start this series next chapter, next Sunday. But I just wanted to have a Sunday to share something that God was really putting on my heart. Because I was saying, like, all right, we're starting a new year. It's a new decade for us as a church. And what is it that I need to share with our people? And I've been praying about that. And I believe this is what I heard from God. I believe God told me today to teach on this. Tell them that they are the church. Tell them that they are the church. I want to take the rest of our time to explain what that means. And I feel like this is such a fitting message for us right now. After lockdowns, political unrest, church swapping, COVID PTSD, strained relationships, and let's face it, all around chaos, people and the church are relationally hurting. Do you feel that? There's just like a weirdness with people right now. And I think a lot of us need to remember or learn for the first time that you are the church. And I want to make this even more personal. I want you to know that you are Centerpoint. That you are Centerpoint. And what I mean by this is the local church isn't a brand. The local church isn't an org chart. It isn't something you go to. The local church are a group of Christians committed to God and to one another. The local church is people, which means Centerpoint Church is you. And so I want to take some time today to explain why it is critical that you understand that you are, in fact, Centerpoint Church. You know, the Apostle Paul was trying to get this very same message across to a church in his day. It's called the Church of Corinth. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let me just let you know a little bit about Corinth. Corinth was a church with major issues. Jealousy, pride, disunity, and other sins. They were a mess. They didn't get how important it was for all of them, despite their differences, despite their theological hangups, despite all these other things, why it was so important for them to see themselves as one church, to understand their place within the grand scheme of their church. And so Paul teaches them this. It's kind of a lengthier section. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 12, 12 down to 27. And this is what Paul writes. He says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weak are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while the presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving great honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Let me say this again. Friends, you are the body of Centerpoint. Amen? You are the body of Centerpoint. Because the church is only as strong as its bonds with each other. That we legitimately practice what we preach. And that's what Paul means when he says in verse 25, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And as such, the church, every church, us, as well as any other local church, is only ever as strong as everyone in the church realizing that they are part of the body and therefore need to function as their part of the body. Every church must understand this. Every person in every church must internalize this. And I think what is interesting here is that as Paul is sharing about the body, he is thinking about God the Creator creating Adam and Eve in the very first place. He knows that God made every molecule and every part of the body for Adam and Eve, every organ put in its place, each system having to work together for life to sustain in this body of humanity, because God is the Creator. And as he's saying this, in the same way that God has made our physical bodies, now through Christ being redeemed through Jesus, he's now created a new body. It's not a physical body, it's a spiritual body. And it's the group that is now called Christians, followers of Christ. And he's saying God was at it again. In verse 12, when he said, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Saying as a result of Jesus, as a result of you putting your faith in Jesus, you now are part of this new spiritual body, the bride of Christ. I gotta tell you, it's important to remember. It's important for me to remember, because who made Centerpoint Church? It's not me. God let me be the founder. I was the one who got the group of people together, start talking about it, but make no mistake about it, because I know I don't. I did not make Centerpoint Church, because no person can make a church. Only Jesus can make the church. Amen. Only God can make any church. And so anytime you walk into church, there may be a founded date. There may be a founder who was put in that position by God to get it started. But let's not deceive ourselves. Jesus made this church. Amen. It's his. And as such, Paul tells us that you can't be arrogant as Christians. You can't be arrogant and think that you don't need each other. You can't think that God had not made you to be part of a body, of a group of people that are committed to one another, because he has. If you are a follower of Jesus, he has made you to be part of a body. That's why he said in verse 15, now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. He's saying it doesn't matter what it says because it still is. It doesn't matter what you're verbalizing because you still are part of the body whether you want to be or not. And by the way, you cut off the foot no longer lives. No, he's saying you need to be part of the body. And I want you to hear me, friends. You can't get out of this reality. There's no escaping this theologically. There are no loopholes in regards to being part of the church. Hear me. If you are a Christian, you were created to be part of a local church. If you are a Christian, you were created to be part of a local church. And remember, Paul was, in fact, writing to a local church. He's not talking about the universal church, that if you're a Christian, you're part of the universal church. Is that true? Of course. But that's not the point he is making. He's writing right now to the church of Corinth, to the Christians in this one city. And he's saying, if you are a Christian in Corinth, then you must be part of the local church in Corinth. There's no way around it. He wants them to see it and embrace it because the division has started to creep in and separate what God has brought together. And I got to say, there's often a popular belief that floats in our more non-committal Americanized church culture. And it kind of goes something like this, that as long as I'm a Christian, right, I'm part of the church, and so I don't actually need to be part of any local church. Like, I don't need to have roots any one place. As long as I have some Christian friends, right? We'll talk about Jesus a little bit. As long as I can watch some preachers online or read a book. As long as I listen to Caleb in the car, I'm good. Like, I'm checked off on all the boxes of what it is to be a Christian. And yes, you are, in fact, a Christian. I would not deny that, but you are not a Christian in the will of God. You're not a Christian in the way God has made you to be. Hear me, I'm going to say this super gently just because I don't want to offend anyone today. If you don't think that you need to belong in the local church, you're listening to Satan, not God. It's me being gentle, loving, 20th anniversary, you got to give me a little grace. There's no way that's what God says in Scripture. Like, you're the exception. You are so good, so holy, so you don't need to be part of a church. You just do you. Do your own spiritual Christianity. You don't need any authority over you. You don't need any pastors. You don't need to be committed to others. You just do what you want. Paul says, no, if you want to do this, you're like the foot saying, I don't belong to the body. And Paul's calling out this bad theology in his day. It's like, that is not how God has made you and made the church. He's saying that's nonsense. He's saying it's goofy. He's saying it's silly. The foot saying, I don't belong to the body. He's like, that doesn't even make sense. No one would buy that. Because again, friends, you can't be in the will of God and be disconnected from the church. God didn't make it that way. He didn't say, listen, being part of the church is optional. If you don't think it's for you, don't worry about it. Do what you want. I'm not really a big fan of the Bride of Christ myself. No. We are called to this. And listen, I get that community is hard. Amen? Come on now. Community is hard. People don't always agree with you, even though you are always right, right? Come on now. Like, they're differing opinions than you, and of course they are wrong. And let's just admit it, people are the worst, right? Come on now. People are the worst. And every church has issues, and every leader makes mistakes, and you won't like everything a church does, but hear me, without you, the church is broken. It's not whole. I think the greatest hindrance to us living out being the body of Christ is that we often believe that the church exists for us instead of I am an important part of the church body. Like, I have a part to play in regards to being part of a church. What I mean by this is we often go to church to receive, not necessarily to give or to be stretched or to be part of. And what we need to ultimately learn, I believe, is this: that church is not a consumable good. It is a commitment to each other. It's not a consumable good. It's not something you just simply come to and take. No, you come to give, and you don't give to me. You give to one another. It's God's people serving each other as part of the church and advancing the kingdom of God. That is what he has called us to. See, Christians aren't meant to be sports fans, like you're a Mets or Yankees fan, which I would argue is a waste of time either way. Go Orioles, the worst team in baseball. But we're not sports fans, friends. If you're a sports fan, what do? Maybe you buy a jersey. You have some merch in the house, right? You watch some of the games, depending on how good the team is that year. Maybe you'll go to some of the games as you're there. You'll cheer for your team, and you'll mock anyone else that isn't there as a spectator in the stands wearing another jersey. I once went to a Yankees game wearing an Oriole shirt, right? Had some people make fun of me, but mostly they were just felt bad for me, so it was all right. They just, oh, poor guy. But as Christians, we're not fans. That's not what it is. Instead, what we are ultimately is we are the team. We're not the ones in the stands just cheering, hoping that everything goes well. We're the ones making it happen. We're on the field. We're taking care of the grounds. We're answering the phones. We're selling the tickets. We're cleaning up the peanut shells after all of the fans left. That's who we are as the church. We're in it. We don't go for entertainment. We go because we are part of it, because we have a part to play in it, because we have a role in making it ultimately happen. And this brings me back to where I started today, friends. You are center point. You are. And if this is your home church, and you've come around long enough and you get what's happening and who we are and what we're about, I think for some of you, it's time to mentally and emotionally commit. I know that's a scary word. I think it's time to commit. I think it's time to stop shopping around. I think it's time to take responsibility and own being part of the local church the way God has made you, because there's a hole in the church that you've been meant to fill. And by the way, I do think there's an important membership principle here in 1 Corinthians 12. I think there's a reminder in there, because there's also this notion that some Christians have. Not only do I not need to be part of a local church, but they'll then say, oh, you know what, membership, I don't need to be a member of a church. Show me in Scripture where it says to be a member. Well, I got to tell you, there's nothing in Scripture that says you need to take a membership class. And I'll tell you why. Because the church 2,000 years ago looked very different than the church in America today. In Massapequa alone, do you know there's over 13 churches in Massapequa that you could go to check out? Some of them are great friends of mine. We have some great churches in Massapequa. We just did a Thanksgiving service together to represent the fact that we were one church. I think that's a beautiful thing. But here's the thing. When you were part of the local church back in Paul's day, you had to make some commitments. First, committing yourself to Christ was a big deal, but then you had to do this public thing that we all understand here at Center Point. We teach on it and do it often, called baptism. In verse 13, he said, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit." Remember, he's about to talk about what to be part of the body, and he's saying this is how you become part of the body. And, you know, first you put your faith in Christ, and then you have to be baptized. And when you are baptized publicly, that's when you become part of that local church. And baptism in Jesus' day was very different than now. He's talking to a pagan world. Like, when you were baptized in Christ, a lot of people would lose their friends and their family. They could lose their occupation. They could start to be persecuted. That was the membership process, saying, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus. People are now going to know, because I'm doing it publicly, that I'm committing myself to these other people and under the authority of the apostles and teachers and leaders and elders. And I'm going to lose friends and family if I do this. There was definitively a process of saying, I'm committing to these people, because it is a big deal. It is important to become part of the body. In the same way, friends, I want to challenge you that you are center point. I think one of the challenges of being a larger church is getting people to commit to being part of the church, because it can be so easy just to come. I think we do a pretty awesome job on a Sunday. I'm going to brag a little bit, all right? I think our worship team, phenomenal musicians who God has blessed us with. Wouldn't you agree with that? Like, they do a great job. We got people on the soundboard and cameras and people up top, and we're able to do all of this. And you have smiling faces when you walk in, and you have people who make coffee for you, and people who are watching the kids and giving the kids a great opportunity to learn about Jesus. Like, I got to tell you, I love coming to church. I always did before I was a pastor. I loved going to church. And I love coming to Center Point. It can be easy just to come, and it's a larger room, and we're a little lighter these days with COVID still, but you can come, and even now, especially if you're wearing a mask, you can hide like never before, right? You can even put on someone else's face on your mask, and then no one would really know who you are. And when you're a larger church, it's easier to kind of come and hide. It can be easy to jump around from campus to campus and never develop any relational bonds. It's easy to assume that someone else is going to do the work to teach the kids, to help out with greeting, to step up. It'd be easy to assume that someone else is going to be the tithers and givers and giving the offering to make sure that everything is taken care of. And sadly, it's even easier to leave. It's easier to walk out and say, I'm never coming back, because there's never been a relational bond for someone to know that you've left, or even more importantly, a reason to stay. And you know, when we were smaller, I mean, I've just been doing so much reflecting over 20 years, especially over the last few months, looking at when this church was 20 or 40 or 60 people. And when we were small in one location, this idea that if you came to church, you were part of the church was so obvious. Because when we were small, everyone knew everyone. There was no sneaking in or out. When you go into a room of 50 people, everyone knows if you're new, right? If you're new here today, you probably like the fact that no one knows that you're new. Except right now, I'm going to make you stand. All right, if you're new, just joking. I'm messing with you. I wouldn't do that to you. But yeah, no one knows right now if you're coming in for the first time. There's sometimes that there'll be a greeter. Someone will walk in like, oh, hi, are you new here? And they're like, yes, 17 years ago. Yeah, when we were small, everyone knew everyone. Everyone had a job to do. Everyone gave financially, because if they didn't, we wouldn't be able to have church the next week. Everyone stepped up. Everyone went to every event. And it was clear that we were the church, because when one of us didn't show up, there was no one to fill in that spot. No one showed up and all the kids had to be in the sanctuary. No one showed up and there was nothing on Pro Presenter. No one showed up and there was no one leading worship. If I didn't show up, then no one preached. Because everyone had to do everything to get it done. And friends, I want you to hear this. Just because we are larger doesn't make this verse any less true. When Paul says in 12:27, now you, Hiri, put your name in there, now that you are the body of Christ. And each one of you is a part of it. The church of Corinth is probably thousands of people at this point. He's not even talking to a small church, by the way. It's probably larger than Center Point Church. He's saying you're still part of the body. You have a part to play. You are important. You are significant. Friends, I am asking today that if you've been around long enough to see what we're about, who we are, what we believe, the vision and mission that God has put on our heart, and you are a follower of Jesus, or you're exploring your faith in Christ, I'm going to ask you, I think it's time to commit. I think it's time to put a ring on it. I'm dating myself a little bit there, but come on, that will never get old. I think it's time to step up a little bit. It's time in your mind and your heart to say, this is my church. It's time to look around this room and say, these are the people that I'm committing myself to. It's time to let God plant you here so that you can grow and bloom. One of the things I did not expect when I got married was how hard marriage was going to be. Anyone else feel that way when they got married? Yeah, thank you. Let's just own that. By the way, if you're single, you think marriage is going to fix everything? Love you, but you're wrong. I'll tell you what marriage does. It enhances everything. You had a little tiff when you're engaged. That little tiff becomes an explosion when you're married. And I got to tell you what I learned about marriage, the thing I did not expect, was this person I now committed my life to was actually going to be the very person that God was going to use to change me and correct me and soften me and rebuke me and make me into a better follower of Christ. And I'll tell you why. Because any other relationship that's that hard at times, you know what you're going to do? You're going to run. You're going to abandon it. It takes work when you're committed. It's a struggle to get to a beautiful place. It doesn't happen overnight. You just don't start off smooth and in this good space. I mean, maybe you do at first because you're lying to each other, but eventually disillusion will kick in. And when it does, you have this option of flight, at least in the world. I don't believe biblically, but you have this option of flight. But see, what happens in marriage when you're committed to one another, you say, all right, you know what? I need to work on this for the sake of this relationship. I need to overcome this. I need to learn how to forgive. I need to learn how to get softer. I need to learn how to speak my mind up more. I need to learn how to work through this. And Sarah's rough parts and my rough parts started just bristling against one another. And we learned and we depended on God and we trusted in him. And I'm not saying our marriage is perfect now, but it is so smooth compared to what it used to be. And I grew as a man of God by having to love someone more than myself. That's ultimately what marriage teaches us. The commitment. And a lot of Christians will never grow in Christ because they keep running away from committing to others, where yes, it's going to be hard at times. And yes, you're going to have to practice forgiveness. And yes, you're going to have to practice love. And yes, you're going to have to practice thinking of others better than yourselves. And yes, you're going to have to say, wow, I can't believe they think that way or believe that way, or they've hurt me and I have to forgive them, or they've done this or they've done that. But we are the body of Christ, so I can't run. I need to let this help me grow and trust in Jesus. That's what this does. And as we look to the future, as we look to the next decade, I believe that this idea needs to be constantly examined as God continues to allow this church to grow, to reach Brooklyn to Montauk, to see revival take place, to make a real difference for Jesus. Hear me, we must be one body. I think for some of you, it's time to make a mental shift to I am Center Point, that you own it. I have a pet peeve. It happens often. It's funny how often this happens, but I'll be talking to someone who's been part of the church for a while. They serve, they give, like they're an intricate part now of an area of ministry, and we're talking, and they'll say to me, you know what, Brian, you know what I love about your church? Your church. And I stop them like, what are you talking about? You cannot say your church. You must say our church. And I know because I was the founder, there can be this confusion at times. I know because my role is the lead pastor that sometimes we just want to kind of push that off onto me. It's my responsibility. It's my burden, but it is not. No one can handle this burden alone. It is our burden. It is our responsibility. And I get how hard it is, even my sons, my kids. I got my two boys, and both of them in the last 4 weeks said the same thing in different conversations. Hey, Dad, blah, 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 about your church. Like my church? You guys were literally born at Center Point. We use the baptismal tank for a water birth. And no, I'm just joking. Just joking. For some of you, now you know if you want to stay or leave. You're like, he's so funny, I'm in. Or he's so disrespectful, I'm out. I get it. But I'm saying to my kids, like, you've been here your whole lives. You both serve in children's church every week on a Sunday. You give portion of your allowance to the church. Hey, you're part of youth group. This is your community. What do you mean, my church? And I get if my kids say that, how easy it can be for you to think that as well. Church is not something you come to. It's something you are. It's something you are part of. And friends, I want to challenge you to make Centerpoint your church. If you feel that God has called you here, that this is your body, if you're still shopping, you're still exploring, you're still figuring out, praise God. We list churches on our website for that reason. You don't have to go to a church simply because it's in your community or it's the first one you went to. But once you know and you're connected, it's time to say, I am Centerpoint Church. That you are part of this wonderful, beautiful, messed up, dysfunctional family. And we do it all for the glory of God. Amen, church.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged by today's message. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page and follow us on social media at Centerpoint NY on Instagram and Centerpoint Church on Facebook. For more information and ways to connect, visit our website at cpchurch.com.